So prayer then is one of the steps to having your sins forgiven and to giving up evil deeds. So train yourself to always run back to Allah. And the feeling of repenting and apologizing and crying to Allah, this is far better than the feeling when you run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you live with that emptiness. Running back to Allah is 100 times more beautiful than running away from Him. And there is no beauty in running away from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who are repentant, and He loves those who purify themselves. So repent, constantly repent to Allah. Train yourself to always come back and repent to Allah, and Allah will love you for that repentance and will love you if you purify yourself. There are those who say that I asked Allah and He never responded to me, so I gave up the prayers. So the question is, will you not then trust the infinite wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal? Isn't He the one who said, perhaps you may love something and it's bad for you, and perhaps you may hate something and it's good for you? So if Allah knows that something is not good for you, He's not going to give it to you. Because when you make dua, you generally want something which is good to happen to you. So now what if you're asking for something that's going to cause you harm? Then Allah is not going to give it to you. Because in that sense, Allah will be giving you that which is good. You only want what is good for you. So when Allah doesn't give you that which is bad, even if you ask for it, He's actually giving you good. And salah is part of your preparation for the next life, and part of your battle against sins. So why would you ever give up salah? Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, one of the early Muslims, rahimahullah, he used to love to spend a lot of his time in night prayer and in tahajjud. And his wife would tell him, come and sleep and don't go all the time, and he would not listen to her. So one day she says, I was watching him and I pretended to sleep, and he pretended to sleep as well, and then he got up, like a mother who pretends to sleep so the baby or the child sleeps, and then she slips away after the child falls asleep. So Abu Sinan, rahimahullah, when he thinks his wife is asleep, he goes away to pray. So then she comes after him. She says, oh Abu Sinan, why don't you rest? And he says, leave me be. You want me to lie down? And she says, yes. He says, verily, I am preparing with these prayers for when I lie down for a long time. And rahimahullah, he was speaking about death. And this is how the early Muslims and the righteous used to prepare for their death with long prayers and extra prayers. And from the excellence of salah is that the word salah, it comes from the root sila, which means connection or link. So it's that which links you and connects you to your Lord. So what links you to your Lord? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my slave, my servant, says in his prayer, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that Allah says, my servant has praised me. And then when the servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the compassionate, Maliki Yawm al-Din, master of the day of judgment, Allah will say, my slave has glorified me. And then when the servant says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, you alone we worship and your aid we seek, then Allah says, this is between me and my slave. And then when the servant says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, show us the straight path, Allah says, this is for my slave, and I give my slave what he wants. Mad'an ibn Abi Talha says, I found Thawban, the mawla is like a freed slave. So he says, I found Thawban, the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says to Thawban, inform me of a deed that I can do with which Allah will enter me into paradise. And then Thawban tells him, I asked the same thing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to him saying, عليك بكثرة السجود لله فإنك لا تسجد لله سجدة إلا رفعك بها درجة وحط بها عنك خطيئة. The advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him, he tells him, I advise you with much sujood to Allah, meaning much prayer, for you do not make a prostration. You don't make any prostration to Allah, except that Allah will raise you a rank with it and remove a sin from you because of it. And Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, one of the companions, he says, I used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as you know, if you serve someone or you assist someone, you get reward for that. So what if you serve and assist the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No doubt you get greater reward. So he says, I used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the day, and at night I would go to his door and sleep there. So in case the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed anything at night, he would be right at his doorstep. So he says, so I would constantly hear him saying in his house, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhan Rabbi. That he's always remembering Allah, making dhikr of Allah. He says, then until I would get tired, or sleep would overcome me. He said, I would get bored, or sleep would overcome me. So one day, he said to me, the Prophet ﷺ says to him, O Rabi'a, ask and I will give you. So the Prophet ﷺ now wants to give him something back in return, because he's been serving him. So I said, give me time to think. He says, I wanted time to think about exactly what I needed. So I remembered that everything in this life is going to eventually go away. So if I ask for money, or camels, or cows, or land, it's eventually going to go away. So I said, ask Allah to save me from the hellfire and enter me into paradise. So then the Prophet ﷺ was quiet. And then he asked him, who told you to say this? And he says, no one told me to say this, but I realize that the world is transient, and that you have a place with Allah, so I like that you should ask Allah for me. So then the Prophet ﷺ, what does he tell him? He tells him, I will do it, but assist me in this with much sujood. What does that mean with much sujood? With prayer. So in order to be protected from the hellfire and taken into paradise, is the dua of the Prophet ﷺ enough? The Prophet ﷺ says, I will make dua for you, but you have to help me in this by making a lot of sujood. And what more proof do we need to show how great it is to prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are angels, angels who watch you at night, and then they're going to be succeeded, replaced by other angels who watch by day. And then they congregate at the Fajr prayer and at the Asr, afternoon prayer. Those who spend the night among you, meaning the angels who spend the night among you, will then ascend to the heaven. And then they're going to be questioned by Allah, even though Allah knows the situation better. And then he asked them, how have you left my servants? And they say, we left them praying. And when we came back, they were also praying. So the angels come and go at the time of prayer. So when they come, they find the people praying. And when they leave, they leave the people praying. But how would you like if all the reports of these angels about you were that you were sleeping at Fajr and watching television at Asr? Or sleeping at Fajr and sleeping again at Asr? Wouldn't you be ashamed in front of Allah if this is all that is reported about you, is that you're asleep the whole time or watching television, never reported about you that you're praying? The Prophet ﷺ said, لا يلجي النار من صلى قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها. And in another narration, لا يلجي النار أحد صلى قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها. That no one who prays before the sun rises and sets will enter the hellfire. And these are the two salawat. And these are also the two salawat in which the angels will be there, and they will ascend and descend and report to Allah. And just praying these, they will prevent you from entering the hellfire. So how can the salah be unimportant? The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith narrated by Muslim that nothing stands between a person and kufr except giving up salah. When you stop salah, there is kufr. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, أَلَعَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. That the covenant that separates us from them, who's them? The kuffar. The covenant that separates us from them is prayer. And whoever gives up prayer has become a kafir. And the scholars differed about the one who doesn't pray. Some of them said that he's a fasiq, that he's a wicked person, and that he should be asked to repent. While others said that he is actually a kafir, a disbeliever, like a mushrik, and that he should not be inherited, and that his wife cannot stay with him, and that if he dies he should not be washed, and he should not be buried with the Muslims. So which of these two categories would you like to fall in? Of the fusaq, the wicked people, or the kuffar? Some of the scholars mention that this disagreement of opinion only arose later in the later generations of scholars. Why? Because they say this was not known among the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. This didn't exist. How can someone be a Muslim and not pray? They didn't have this debate amongst them.